Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You're tuned into Auto Intelligence, live from Auto Trader, where data, tools, and your preferences sync to make your car shopping smooth.
They're searching inventory.
Oh, yeah.
They find what you need.
They're going to find
it. You can make a budget for your wallet to help you succeed.
Mm.
Pricing's precise and true.
So true.
It's smarter car shopping.
Ooh.
Just for you.
Oh, it's just for you.
Ooh.
Find your next ride at autotrader.com. Powered by Auto Intelligence.
Whatever happens today, plan to conquer it with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. True North Convenience Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. Our brew is truly perfect for any time of the day. During October and November, enter for a chance to win free coffee for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or find the mobile app in your favorite app store. Offer valid 10/7 through 12/1. True Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Welcome to Jeffrey Wright and Company. My name is Jeffrey Wright. You can follow me on X at JWright929ESPN. As always, you can listen on the radio dial, 92.9 FM, 680 AM. But if you're away from the radio dial, you can stream us anytime, anywhere on the Odyssey app. We're also streaming on TuneIn and iHeartRadio, so you can use those apps as well. George Ruggiero is the producer of the program. You can follow him on X at KingGeorge94. George, good day, sir.
Good day, Jeffrey. How's it going?
It's going well, my man. My company, as he is each and every Friday on the program, he is, of course, the Commercial Appeals Memphis Grizzlies beat writer. You can also hear him on the Locked On Grizzlies podcast, available each and every weekday, wherever you find your podcast, on X at DeMichael C. DeMichael Cole, good day, sir.
Good day, Jeffrey. How we doing, man?
Oh, my man, we are doing well. All right, let's see what we got coming up on the program. Blake Topmeyer is going to join us here at the bottom part of the hour. Of course, discuss the big week in the SEC and college football with him. We'll get his thoughts on Penn State's decision to move on from James Franklin, how that job stacks up. We'll talk about all things college football with Blake when he joins us in about 30 minutes or so. We'll get into the list during hour number two. We'll talk Grizzlies, of course, with DeMichael. The Grizzlies' final preseason game is tonight. It appears Ja Morant went through shoot around, so we'll discuss whether or not we think that means he's going to play, because that has been one of those, I guess we'd call it an indicator. I feel like when they participate in shoot around, there's a chance they play that night.
Yeah, but it's preseason too.
Yes, you know? Exactly.
It could be just a example
workout.
It could have given him some more work.
Yeah, could have just been that. So we'll talk more Grizzlies during hour number two. We'll talk about the games of the weekend. And we'll tell your story, then we will get out of here. But I think let's first start with, what are we talking about on Monday? And I think if we're going to start locally, I think the question will be, was there any chance to get game day? And to me, it seems like it really all stems on, I think you need, it seems like you're going to need Vandy to beat LSU.
Vandy, LSU, yep.
They are favorites, so again, that's not...
Somehow, some way.
Somehow, some way. Where there's a will, there's a way. And then it seems to me like you probably want Auburn to beat Missouri, because I think that would not... Because you went in this situation where there's two SEC games that I think are probably ahead of you in the pecking order. Obviously, LSU, A&M, for sure. And then I think if Missouri and Vanderbilt both win... I think that game would be ahead of you, because then
where's that one going to be at? Missouri. Fantasy.
That is in Nashville.
That's in Nashville. Okay. Oh yeah. Definitely.
That's kind of the way I'm leaning. So I don't feel like it's a 0.0% chance. I just think it's really unlikely. I think they're going to one of the SEC games.
Yeah, and then I mean, I know you already talked about this, but the 11 a.m. start definitely.
Yeah, it's one of those things where I don't think it's a deal breaker.
But I think it's a factor.
Yeah, I mean, they've done games where they toss it. Because it's weird, Big Noon kickoff, it's usually the 11 a.m. game.
Yeah, like, right.
they're just tossing. But there is definitely an idea of with game day, the game's usually after it. But like there was a, I mentioned there was a Georgia Arkansas game a few years ago where game day was there, and that was the 11 a.m. kickoff. But it certainly doesn't help. I still think with the fact that like your TV time slot is largely predetermined by conference affiliation.
Yeah, yeah. That's,
I feel like when it's a non-SEC or a Big Ten or when it's one of the non-big boys,
it's kind of high rolls for you.
Exactly. Yeah. But I'm with you. Let's not kid ourselves. The only time they had game day, they put the game at 6:30.
Yeah.
And they have the entire network where they could have put the game. So if they wanted to move it back, they could. I'm also not in the camp. Like, I feel like there's some, I don't know if it's like conspiracy angle, but like, I do not think what is happening with the National Guard, the task force, I don't think that plays any impact.
I don't either.
I think it's just a TV decision.
Yeah. There's one more game too that I think we should throw in there. The Ole Miss game. Ole Miss Oklahoma.
Oh yeah. So it's because they've already been to Norman.
Oh, you think that automatically?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
It seems to me like the pecking order right now is if they have their way and the games cooperate.
Go to Vandy probably.
They want to go to Baton Rouge.
Oh yeah, yeah. Baton Rouge.
Because they haven't done Baton Rouge.
They haven't, yeah. They love going there.
I think they put that game, I think that's the 6:30 game.
On the ABC, whatever.
It's the premier one, if you will.
I mean, it should be a really good game. LSU Texas A&M is always funky.
Let me double check on that, but I'm nearly certain that they put that one at 6:30 next week. Because I think they put
Georgia,
Ole Miss, OU at 11.
That's the 11. Yeah, that's the 11 o'clock game.
And then the 2:30 is
Missouri Vandy still TBD.
Bama South Carolina is 2:30.
Okay, have they decided on all of them? Because like I know
A&M at LSU is the 6:30 ABC game.
I felt like there were like three games that were like could be the ESPN TBD, game, could be the ABC game, could be the ESPN2 game, or like they had like designated as basically it could be anywhere. So basically they were implying what happens this week determines where those games are going to fall.
Yeah.
But if you're saying they've already put the one at 2:30, then that makes all sense.
Yeah.
I feel like I've spent all week just trying to even learn this week's schedule. So actually knowing next week's to me is probably going to be tough.
Those are the games. I think you hit it on those two games this week.
I mean, I guess there's also the question of, all right, you could talk me into if a team gets a fired coach bump, I could believe UAB gets a bump just because they don't play for Trent Dilfer anymore. Oh. Like, that does feel – now, I still think the roster's super bad and it doesn't really matter.
Yeah.
But he's never struck me as someone the guys played for. So, I guess that game could be – at least interesting from that perspective. But the other thing that we're seeing in the American is like the top teams in the American beat the absolute dog crap out of the lower teams. And so if we're even talking about a competitive game on Monday, I'd be worried about next Saturday because do not think South Florida is going to struggle with FAU.
You shouldn't. Yeah, we shouldn't be talking about Memphis struggling with UAB.
We should not be talking about anything other than the South Florida game.
Yeah.
Like this should just be something that happens and move on.
But the energy bump with the interim coach is very real. We see it all the time, but I think in this case, it should probably be like a one possession thing.
Yeah, like exactly. If you want to say like Arkansas's defense didn't look god awful this weekend.
Yeah.
But also I think part of that was like basically whoever Petrino like because he just fired all the defensive guys and he like basically promoted Stavers. It was very obvious to me what he said. He's like, we're going to play two high safeties. You're going to keep everything in front.
Yep.
And we're not giving up the explosive plays. You're not blitzing. You're not going to like, you're just
very vanilla stuff.
You're going to keep everything in front. And they were fine. Yep. Like, but I don't know that because that's the other thing. So it's like, now let's get to this weekend. Am I alone in thinking, despite the fact that it is the only quote unquote top 10 matchup this weekend, Ole Miss Georgia does not feel like the biggest game of the weekend. And I can't tell if that's because USC, Notre Dame is out there. Mm-hmm. We still have Tennessee, Alabama. I don't. I'm talking about mainly from the conversation, like when you turn on ESPN and whatnot. I'm not even pointing the finger saying like this game should be bigger. Like no, I'm observing that it does not feel like it is the biggest game of the weekend.
Only because the star power with Georgia just isn't the same right now. That's it. Like, but I do think it's.
So you think it's a Georgia thing?
Yeah. For sure. I don't think it's an Ole Miss. I think Ole Miss is kind of, you know, they're top five now. They put themselves in the conversation. But with Georgia, you know, the loss to Alabama and just the way they haven't looked like the typical gladiators that beat teams down. Like the fear factor that we talk about with Alabama and Georgia, it just isn't the same right now. So it's like, you know, like you wouldn't expect them to be the lower ranked team in a game against Ole Miss.
To your point. Yeah. I don't see a lot of guys on their defensive line that I get. Well, that guy's just going to play for the Eagles next year.
Yeah, you don't got Jalen Carden.
Davis. It's like I'm not worried about.
I
can buy that. Also,
could it?
I wonder if there's also an element of like, can we all just like say something out loud? It's okay.
What's that?
Like, none of us believe in Gunnar Stockton. Okay to say it. Like.
That's not even where I was going, but I don't disagree.
But, like, my whole thing is there seems to be – it's like because he made one throw against Tennessee, which
– Oh, my goodness.
Guys, it was a one-on-one throw to the outside. Let's stop
quarterbacks are supposed to do.
Yes. Like, let's stop acting like it was Eli Manning's throw in the Super Bowl to Manningham up the sideline. Like, it was a one-on-one throw. He saw it, threw it up, and Humphreys made a catch.
Yeah.
Like, I think that's really what it is that people – It feels like everyone's just kind of scared to say that. And I don't get it. Mm.
It's because you don't want to be wrong.
Now, on the flip. Well, I can always spin zone it.
Yeah,
I wasn't wrong. I was early. John Mateer.
We've gotten that. When we ran the numbers, a couple weeks ago, how many throws did he make? Within 5 yards of the line of scrimmage, either way, it was like 80%
of his throws. He's 117th nationally in air yards per throw.
Yeah.
It's like 80% of 80% of his throws are basically screens.
Oh, this is prime Drew Brees type stuff right here.
Drew was throwing crossing routes.
Yeah.
Like Drew was throwing it 3 yards behind in front of the line of scrimmage. Yeah. This is all behind the line of scrimmage.
Oh, that's nasty.
Like, think about this. His air yards per attempt is like 6. And that's because he only has 2 throws. It's the throw to the outside that we're talking about or the screens.
Yeah.
There's nothing in between. There's no...
Like, you go and you look at, like, the 10 to 15 yard, like, middle of the field, there's, like, nothing.
Mm. All blue. Ice cold.
It's just like, it's a void. Now, that's how he gets to play mistake-free.
Yeah.
Like, how do you avoid throwing interceptions? There's a lot more guys in that part of the field. You can't throw an interception if you don't throw it to him. Like, I don't know. It's kind of weird how I feel like that game should kind of be a headliner this weekend. And obviously, it's still a big game.
Which game?
The Ole Miss Georgia game. But it just doesn't feel to me like it's the. It's like what it's
I mean,
in
it's
the
just
A
a
block.
Loaded week. So it's like
that's true.
It doesn't really stand out, you know.
And we do have a big week,
man.
Is it the lack of Jeopardy?
I don't think that hurts, but there is jeopardy for Georgia.
Is it?
If you take this, if you spin this loss.
They'd have to win out probably, but I mean, if you tell me Georgia goes to the SEC championship and picks up a third loss.
They would have to, if they were to lose, that would make them
I think that kind
two
of,
losses.
That would give them two conference losses.
That would give them two third.
Now, I still think we're going to get a mess.
Yeah, we're definitely going to get a mess.
I am open to the idea that A&M and Bama are just the best teams. And so I'm closer to A&M because
A&M looks good.
I do think their roster's expensive.
Yeah.
Like but there's also something it's like I guess that's true though. That winning at Notre Dame is aging
nicely.
Yeah, it is.
Like that's like we've had some losses that are not aging well. Or wins.
A&M might be in trap game territory this week. I'm telling you.
So this is obviously a Talen Green show. We are very pro Talen.
Very pro Talen Green over here.
I felt like Petrino and them kind of like, they spent their like ace up the sleeve last week. Like they went for broke.
They did.
Trying to get Tennessee.
They did. Don't I know it.
But, I mean, it's a, listen, this is a road game in a league where almost every single year, one of the bad teams beats one of the good teams.
For sure.
So I'm not sitting there going on Monday, if Arkansas wins this game, I was like, I never saw that coming. It's like, well, it happens every year.
Mm-hmm.
Like, basically, every SEC team other than Mississippi State beats somebody at the top. So, I mean, I can sit there and take it. I think what I am weirdly, I've talked myself into, I kind of think it's going to get weird in Tuscaloosa tomorrow.
Don't tell me that. You're trying to give me some hope. Hear me out.
I think the masses think these teams are going in opposite directions. Bama's consistently playing better.
Right.
And they've pretty much erased what we still cannot figure out from week one, which was how did they lose to Florida State?
Yeah.
Tennessee's not losing.
Well, boy, they're surviving.
But they don't, like, they're not like.
State,
they're not punctuating
state,
anything.
State and Arkansas were,
I mean,
just
they could
like,
lost. They could have lost. They could have lost the state.
Could have lost state.
Arkansas would have been like the got an onside kicker. Like they were up 17
yeah,
in the fourth quarter.
It,
like,
it shouldn't have. It was
correct.
Like that game where you win and it's like you're not impressed because it shouldn't
correct.
Even have been that close. Yeah, like
I think that's the recipe for.
Yeah.
Wait, this is like we'll
you're
be
playing with fire.
Right. Well, but I also think like. When you have two teams like that,
mm-hmm.
I feel like when you come into a game like this and everybody's just kind of thinking, Bama's starting to be Bama.
I see where you're going with this.
And then,
yeah.
then all of a sudden
up.
You
they
look at
get up for this game.
You look in the fourth quarter mm-hmm. and you're like, maybe Alabama's secondary is not that good. This maybe they just played bad passing teams.
One of those games where you see Tennessee with
yeah.
five fourth down conversions or something like that.
I mean, we watched Tennessee go play for play with Georgia.
Play for play.
I get it. It was at home and this is on the road. Like, I understand, but – it's not like they're going to get in this game and you're going to be overwhelmed by how much better Alabama is.
I agree.
So, I don't know. I've weirdly talked myself into that one. It does feel like we have the other stories we could have this weekend are it's getting weird at these places.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if Vanderbilt beats LSU, it does feel like there's going to be a lot
it
of, like,
get real messy now.
What's going on with Brian Kelly? Because mm-hmm. Brian Kelly's the type of coach when you're winning, you'll put up with it.
Yeah.
But he's not like super likable. So if he's not winning,
like,
there's.
He's like that punching bag that you're waiting.
Correct.
You're waiting. It's like a punchable face.
I think it's possible. I think it seems likely that Florida's going to have a new coach on Monday.
Ooh, likely.
I also think if Auburn loses, Auburn's going to have a new coach on Monday.
Wow.
So that would give us what? So we'd be up to, is that 10 jobs that would be open?
Three in the SEC.
Penn State.
UCLA. Vautech.
Vautech, UCLA.
UCLA.
Mm-hmm. Oklahoma State.
Yep. UAB.
UAB.
Mm-hmm.
Were there some other
Stanford and, do we mention Stanford?
We did not.
Did not
Oregon State opened.
Oregon State, yeah, yeah.
Oh, that's
State.
Right. Yeah, we're at 10. We would be at 10 with those two opening up.
0-6 with no covers, by the way. Oregon State. That's tough.
And is that with their bye?
Correct.
Yikes.
Which I still think the most impressive aspect of Brian Callahan's tenure with the Titans was 4-19 and 4-19 against the spread. So literally,
were you bad.
Like when they lost, they never covered.
Yeah.
And then,
but
because
they
were always underdogs, they just won outright.
So you just had nobody root
correct.
For you. Like people
yes.
are losing money and
exactly.
fans are losing.
Everyone was just miserable. Like you weren't even like you weren't even a team that was like, oh well, they lose, but they cover some spreads.
Yeah, they made it frisky.
Like we can always include them in our teaser. Like you know, like nobody was happy. I kind of weirdly think like I'm not saying I think he'll get fired, but I do think if Washington goes to Michigan and wins tomorrow, I think everybody's going to have the whole Sharon. Like, what are we doing here?
I feel like it's been a thing, but he's got that honeymoon period.
I do not,
and
it feels like it's way too early for the mechanics jacket gimmick.
Mm-hmm.
Like that, that feels like this is not serious.
Yeah.
So I'm trying to think of other ones that we could, where also it could get weird.
What else do we have this weekend?
I mean,
get weird.
If Florida State goes to Stanford and no shows, he could get tarmacked.
You think so?
I think
Stanford?
They're going to have to take it. I think
that's
they're going to.
Yeah, that's.
Listen.
Stanford.
I am on the campaign of Stanford's one of the worst teams I've watched. Gil Branson's that bad.
They stink.
What I am also saying is I have watched what happens to Florida State when they quit on him. They went 2-10 last year.
They were one of those teams.
They still have not won a ACC road game in 2 years. Again, would not expect it.
Yeah.
But if that team's just decided there's nothing to play for, because there is at this point there is nothing to play for, and on top of that, they're pretty banged up.
Yeah.
Like, that one becomes... Like, and also, it's like, okay, like, what if it's like an unconvincing, like, one-score win?
Yeah, good old Brett Bielema, Les Miles type survival win. Yeah.
Do we have any other anxiety? Oh, another anxiety bowl. It's not necessarily an anxiety bowl, but I am not giving up on the idea that Venables is coming back next year.
Why?
I was looking at that one, and you could even say the same thing on the other side with Beamer.
Beamer is okay in the sense that
I don't think Beamer would get fired, but he might be in that wants to reset the clock camp.
I think the problem with Beamer on resetting the clock is he would have to take a pay cut. Like,
yeah.
the easiest spot to toss him to is Vatek.
Yeah,
it just makes all the sense.
But,
right.
They were paying Brent Pry like $4.5 million. Shane's making like $9 million.
That's chump change.
So, I mean, I know they keep doing this. Look at all this money we've committed. And it's like, are you really just going to spend all that on Shane?
So, why on Venables?
All right, here's why on Venables. So, the other thing that I've been monitoring is that part of Franklin getting fired, it's when teams and schools push the chips in.
Yeah,
and they go,
we've been talking about this.
We're going all out for this season.
That's the new age right now.
And when it doesn't work, they're holding you more responsible.
Yeah.
The only person that really got away with it is Kiffin. Like, Ole Miss cashed their chips in last year, and he went to a Gator Bowl. He got an extension. Yep. Like, that just shows, how the fan base feels about him.
Yeah.
But almost everybody else is getting held against him.
Oh, for sure.
And so OU cashed in the chips for this year.
Right.
And if they lose at South Carolina, they're pretty much done. And then you look at the rest of the way. Yeah, Ole Miss at home.
It's not pretty. I know they're
at UT.
Yep.
At Bama. Mizzou at home. LSU at home. It's possible that they're underdogs in all those games. Now, I think next week they'll probably be a slight favorite. But if Ole Miss goes and wins at Georgia and South Carolina beats South Carolina, or South Carolina beats Oklahoma,
they better hope that thumbs.
I think Ole Miss would be favored. Now, that's the least likely of the results, since that would be two underdogs winning outright.
Yeah.
But I think that's probably how the ratings would show it. And then they're going to be, I think they'll be dogs at Tennessee. Yeah. We know they'll be dogs at Alabama.
Yep.
Mizzou feels coin flippy.
Yeah, that's a toss up one.
I also think Mizzou's better than they're getting credit. It was almost like
they should have won, honestly.
I was going to say, were they not getting enough credit for the wins they had stacked up, and then they get hit too hard for losing to Alabama?
It was almost like
that seems like a very Mizzou thing.
But right. It was almost like as long as Alabama had one more point than Missouri, everybody was just going to be dismissive. And it's like, guys, this game was kind of defined by turnovers.
Yeah, they more than hung with
them. They moved the ball better.
They should have won.
I struggle with that because also, I think Alabama is, if you watched the Washington Pennix teams, this team just looks exactly like those teams where you're not over, they have very good players, but they don't have the overwhelming roster where you're just like when Washington played Oregon, if you're just judging dudes, Oregon had the dudes. But that Washington had three NFL receivers, a first-round quarterback, a couple of linemen that were good players, a good running back. Like they had had pieces, but it wasn't like overwhelming. But they killed you on third downs.
Mm-hmm.
Like Penix, like if you go back to that year, like Penix was just a machine on third downs. Yeah, like when it was money time, and then on defense, they were very opportunistic. They got a lot of turnovers.
Sounds familiar. Yep.
It was just like this team just rhymes with that team.
Sounds familiar.
And so, but my thing with Bama is part of like why I thought they beat Missouri was just they were better on third downs. They didn't turn it over. And Mizzou, what, Prabula had two picks, and I think they had a fumble too. And I get one of the picks was a heave at the end, but they still had plenty. Like that was a throw I didn't understand. Oh, we did. Oh, we didn't get to talk about that on Monday. I think my new favorite move.
Yeah.
So I love DBs. When a ball gets thrown out of bounds, the DBs that'll do the incomplete.
Oh, yeah.
That's one of my favorites.
Yeah.
I think I found my offensive equivalent.
What's this?
The receiver that's running the underneath route,
mm-hmm.
and the ball goes over his head, and it gets picked as they were trying to throw like the deeper route.
Yeah.
The receiver that like just exasperated throws his hands down. That receiver's always open. That's
no matter what.
Correct. I don't know. I don't remember which guy it was for Missouri, but it's like if you were watching it, the guy that was running like the underneath slant or whatever, like it was a crossing pattern, it just A+. Like exasperated.
Oh, yeah.
Could not believe the ball didn't go to him. That's good receiver play.
And it was funny to me because if you watch that play, the Alabama, whoever picked it for Bama on that play ended up going down. But he could have literally ran past the Mizzou wide receiver while he was complaining.
Oh, yeah.
He could have just ran right past him.
Yeah.
Like, because he was the next line of defense. Like,
and I think
if
Bama
was still complaining.
I think if Bama would have been at home, he probably would have, because it does seem one thing we got to monitor. DeBoer, I think, now is 7-2. He's undefeated at home straight up.
Yeah.
But I think he's also 7-2 against the spread. Your boy's going with the Vols. I can't explain it. I just it's a vibes play.
Ooh.
I didn't take him outright. I got whatever, 8.5.
I think it's
like the Vanderbilt game. Like Jam Miller should have gone down. The game was over.
Yeah.
He didn't go down. Mm-hmm. I think he's trying to cover for the old boosters at home.
Yeah.
I think he's willing to put that extra touchdown in. I don't know. Like, it feels like this is a weekend where we get a result or two that we didn't see coming. Because, like,
is that weekend.
I just don't think we're going to get to Monday and we're going to see Bama just beat Tennessee, Georgia just beat Ole Miss, Notre Dame just beat USC. What else would we categorize as like a big favorite in the quote unquote big game?
I guess Vandy is a favorite over LSU, but I mean,
what, Texas, Kentucky?
Texas, Kentucky.
Oh, I got my Enron bet. Smartest man in the room.
I mean, tonight?
Oh, no. I'm taking Kentucky.
Oh, wow.
It's
13.5.
It's either genius or it is literally like one of those ones where you like just, it was like betting against Saban, where you're just like, every time you'd lose, you're like, what was I thinking?
Yep.
It was like Saban against Georgia. You took Kirby Smart, fake punt on 4th-and-4 with the defense on the field. You took that guy against Nick Saban? You're an absolute idiot.
Mm.
But if it hits, there is nothing.
You like smartest man in the room.
It is the who the hell wants to bet Kentucky here? No one. I'll bet Kentucky. With that said, Texas after Red River, on the road, 1-7. ATS. And there's some bad, like, there's some, like, Kansas games in there. Like, there's some there's some stinky football in there.
Mm-hmm.
It's also Catterday. Mm. We got Keeneland. Like, I'm telling you, the vibes are going to be immaculate in Lexington.
You're taking them. All right.
I think I just need them. I think, no. I took them 13.5. I took them 13.
Okay.
I think I need them to score twice.
That's all
I
you
think
need.
If they get to 14. Do we really think Texas is going to pour it on and get into the 30s?
Probably not.
No.
Doesn't that game just scream 24-13 or 24-14?
Yeah.
That's what I need.
Or 27-13 and you're
now
crying.
You're all over the place.
I think it could also be 14-0 and you don't cover there either.
That would, yeah.
That would be tough.
Yeah, that's worst case scenario.
And also, like, is Stoops, like, looking for other jobs? Like, I'm not sure. Do we think Stoops is a guy that guys would play hard for?
Yeah.
I mean, they've done it.
They kind of quit on him last year. Now, yeah, that was super late.
Yeah.
They didn't quit on him until, like, the end. Like, there was the Louisville game, they got beat by, like, 100.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to say the week before that, they kind of got blitzed. But they didn't really quit till the end.
Yeah.
And thus begins our Kentucky-Texas preview.
Miami 11.5 tonight.
My gambling brain says Louisville's the play on that.
Yeah.
I cannot bet on an offensive line that can't block James Madison when they're playing Miami. Miami's got some of the
most.
They've got some of the biggest dudes I've ever seen. Like, that is a team of dudes. I cannot do that. It's like, but I also.
That defensive line is the defense. Like, when we're getting off the bus,
yes.
Put them in the front.
No, all of them.
and then
their offensive line's the same.
Yeah.
Like, that left tackle's the biggest guy I've ever seen.
Yeah.
Ooh, like, he makes Mekhi Becton look small. He's unreal. It's how big he is. All right, do we have any other preview games, or do we want to take a break and get to Blake? Any other things that y'all want to discuss right here?
I think we pretty much touched on it, but I'll say this, though. Going back to, I think you mentioned it, with the LSU-Vanderbilt game, that's another swing game in terms of how messy this stuff can get.
Oh,
that is because if Vandy
100%.
Wins, I could still see LSU at home against A&M next week.
Oh yeah, no, I always it's one of those things where I think I'd take them.
Mm-hmm.
If they lose, it's kind of my. I ended up just taking the under.
Yeah,
I kind of weirdly like Ole Miss this weekend because they looked so bad against Washington State.
Yeah,
like it's like the classic. I think everyone thinks they're just gonna get smoked. But then also, like, when you look at some of the public numbers, it seems like the trendiest dog of the week might be the Rebels. And so I was I'll back off, and it's an SEC game. I'll take the under. I'll do that. All right, let's take a quick break. When we come back, let's discuss all of these games with Blake Topmeyer. Stick around. You're listening to Jeffrey Wright and Company, 92.9 FM, ESPN. Blake!
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. You bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You're tuned into Auto Intelligence, live from Auto Trader, where data, tools, and your preferences sync to make your car shopping smooth.
They're searching inventory.
Oh, yeah.
They find what you need.
They're going to find
it. You can make a budget for your wallet to help you succeed. Pricing's precise and true.
So true.
It's smarter car shopping.
Ooh.
Just for you.
Oh, it's just for you.
Ooh.
Find your next ride at autotrader.com. Powered by Auto Intelligence.
Skip the gym, not the workout. With Hydro, you get a full body workout in just 20 minutes, hitting 86% of your muscles in one smooth, low impact motion. And now there's a new Hydro Arc, Hydro's most advanced rower yet. Arc introduces Hydro Metrics, tracking your power, endurance, and precision every time you row, so you can actually see your progress. Go to Hydro.com and use code FIT to get $100 off any Hydro rower, including Arc. That's HYDROW.com, code FIT.
Whatever happens today, plan to conquer it with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. True North Convenience Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. Our brew is truly perfect for any time of the day. During October and November, enter for a chance to win free coffee for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or find the mobile app in your favorite app store. Offer valid 10/7 through 12/1. True Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Scott Myers, the senior national college football columnist for the USA Today Sports Network. His podcast, SEC Football Unfiltered, available each and every week. Follow him on the Everything app at @BTopMeyer. Blake, I've weirdly talked myself into, I think the Vols are kind of live tomorrow.
Wow. Okay.
You want my logic?
I need to hear it because that's not what I'm thinking.
Okay. Here we go. My logic is nobody will see this coming. And B, it is the classic, everyone has turned the corner on Alabama thinking like, all right, week one was just an aberration. It feels like the Vols are trending down. But I'm not sure Alabama's secondary is that good. I think they've just played a bunch of quarterbacks that can't throw. And we've seen Heupel kind of throw it on them a little bit. Like, I just think it's the classic out of nowhere, you're going to be covering a fourth quarter game.
Yeah, it would be the classic out of nowhere. And that's maybe that's the time to throw your money around. We do see that sometimes.
Oh, I have.
Because I mean, with Tennessee, like, their defense is so vulnerable. We've seen that game after game in SEC play. So that's what gives me concern about Tennessee is there's no signs of life from their defense. But, I mean, you might be right. The back end of Alabama's defense, I think, still has some question marks, too. So could be a shootout.
There are a lot of open Missouri receivers. Previla didn't always hit them, but they were open.
Yeah, I think that's fair. Yeah, I don't know. It could be a high score game, but the other thing is too, like, Tennessee's just so much better at home.
Yeah.
Than they are on the road, and I can't look past the fact that for whatever DeBoer's struggles have been in a year and a half at Alabama, they're always on the road, and they always have their best fastball. Feels like at Bryant Denny. I think it'll probably be pretty lit there for a night game. So, I don't know. What's the spread at? Like 9.5?
I think it's 8.
It's 8.5.
Is it 8? 8.5.
7.5.
Yeah. It's been dancing in the – I've never seen it get to 7, but I haven't seen it get to double digits either. It's just been dancing around.
Yeah. I'm with you, though, on the everybody, like, prematurely rushing to declare Alabama back. Like, I don't know that – I mean, what does that even mean, anyway? Like, back to what? You know, they're not back to number one Alabama. They're not back to Nick Saban Alabama. I do think they're probably the best team in the SEC, but I also think there's very narrow gaps between most of these SEC teams, unlike what we've seen in the Big Ten, where I think there's two teams that have established themselves at the head of the pack, and everybody else is playing for third. In the SEC, it feels like this mess of 8-9 teams where everybody's playing for fourth or fifth because that's what it's going to take to get into the playoff.
I was telling DeMichael this. It was kind of weird. It felt like everybody acted like Missouri got beat by 100 when they didn't. It's almost like it was like, okay, they've lost. Like, everyone's done for them. It's like, I don't know. Like, they made some mistakes, but I think you would agree with this. When I watch Alabama, I just see the Washington DeBoer teams with Penix. Like, if you look at them, they're not overwhelming with dudes, but they're money on third downs. The quarterback is playing at a high level. Like, they have NFL receivers, and they just kind of, like, they beat you by just kind of being better in situations than you are.
Yeah, I think that's right. And if you look back to the season where they were national runner-up, at Washington, he was in a lot of close games, and it was just most weeks Michael Penix was the best quarterback on the field, and they pulled out a lot of close games that year, and that's sort of the shape that this season is taking. I mean, Ty Simpson's the best thing they have going. You're right, they've been money on third downs, and I think you're spot on with Missouri. Like, I think everybody's shoveling dirt on Missouri, saying, well, they're out. Like, no, they're not. If they win at Auburn tomorrow, they are still in the thick of this thing. And so, I mean, there's what, 9 or 10 teams in the SEC still alive and well, and I think Missouri's one of them. I mean, they didn't get eliminated by a 3-point loss to Alabama, particularly not if Alabama keeps winning. That loss is going to look fine. So, you know, Missouri's just got to go on the Plains tomorrow and get themselves to win, and if they do that, they're right in the thick of things.
If they do that, will there be a coaching change on Monday?
I think there could be. You've probably seen the comments John Cohen made to AL.com, and I think that was a whole lot of nothing. Like, that was, we hope to win every week, and if we do, we don't have to fire the guy. Well, if ifs and buts were candies and nuts, we'd all have a Merry Christmas.
I know John a little bit. John is probably smarter than the average coach was, but I don't know if John's nearly as smart as John thinks he is. That was like the classic, he thought I nailed that car metaphor. Like, you know what I mean? Like, he's just like, he's like, this is money. And we're all reading that. We're like, okay.
Yeah, that metaphor of is like, when I go out to my car, I expect it's going to start. It's like,
okay,
but your car's been dead for 3 weeks
yeah.
now.
Was the check engine light on? Like, I don't know. Like, I feel like there's times when I know it's a little riskier whether or not my car's going to start than not. Yeah.
Yeah, just sitting on empty out the driveway because that's what it looks like. Huh. I don't know if Auburn makes a move after this one, but I think they could. I mean, to me, this is a make or break game of Hugh's tenure. We've probably said that like four different times now, but I do think when you look at the schedule ahead, this is the chance, the final chance that if Hugh's going to change the narrative, it has to be now, because the schedule ahead, I forget what the order is, but they got winnable games. So they have Missouri at home this weekend. They need to get that one. And then they have some ordering of Kentucky, Arkansas, Vanderbilt, and Mercer. Like, they could win all five of those, or they could lose tomorrow against Missouri, and it could all be over. But, yeah, I mean, they could rip off five straight, go into the Iron Bowl with some life, and Hugh's singing a different tune, and he's coaching Auburn again next season. But if they can't beat Missouri at home, that's another home loss. That's four straight overall. They sink to 0-4 in the conference. Yeah, it might be time then to just stroke the buyout check. Because you can't recruit. You can't point to recruiting either at this point. Recruiting is stalled, and anyway, it's year three. Nobody wants to hear about recruiting in year three.
All right, then. Let's say, I mean, because Vandy's favored by 2.5, but I mean, that's obviously a coin flip game. But let's say Vandy does win. What is the conversation on Monday?
It's going to start getting pretty hot around Brian Kelly if he loses to Vandy. That buyout's huge, and I know now that James Franklin's been fired, that's supposed to be the canary in the coal mine, and everybody's going to start stroking $50, $60 million checks to get rid of their coaches, but I don't think
the structure's the same, right? Like, the thing is, I know when you read James Franklin's owed $48 million, it makes you go, oh my God, but when you realize there's an offset based on duty to mitigate, so getting another job, there's that offset, and then you realized it was basically yearly installments. Like, that's a lot different thing of, like, if I'm pretty sure if I recall, like, Kelly's owed like half of it within 30 days.
I don't have it in front of me, or traveling, so I'll take your word for that. But the other thing is, if Brian Kelly gets fired, I don't know whether, again, I don't have the contract in front of me, I don't know whether he has a duty to offset or not. But at this juncture of Brian Kelly's life and tenure, like, he gets fired, I think Brian Kelly might just hang it up. So I don't think there's going to be much offset from him, because his career might be finished if he gets fired from LSU. So that's pretty well that. You owe him everything he's owed.
I've got it. I was wrong. It's just monthly installments over the remainder.
For Kelly, okay, that's still a lot of money for
53.3.
Yeah, that's a good chunk of change to swallow one bite at a time. That's much different than Hugh Freeze's $15 million buyout. You get to swallow a bite at a time. You know, that's That's still a pretty good chunk there. I don't think it's win or be fired mode yet for Brian Kelly. I do think this is going to get the Flames a lot closer if he loses to Vanderbilt. He didn't need to win a national championship this year. He needed to beat Vanderbilt. You know, he needs to beat Vanderbilt on the road. He needs to be in the college football playoff, I think. I don't know if he goes this year. I really don't know. I think the cake is not baked for Brian Kelly, but the temperature is going to be cranked if he loses to Vanderbilt.
How shocking was it to you on Sunday that Penn State pulled the trigger?
Not shocking. I think these ADs, they listen to the winds of change. You know, they listen when your home fans are booing your head coach before the game starts. The chance in the fourth quarter of Fire Franklin, like, that wasn't a couple disgruntled students.
It was audible on television. You could hear it on TV.
It was audible. Yeah, this wasn't 12 drunk students chanting Fire Franklin. This was thousands of fans chanting Fire Franklin and creating a cacophony on television. These athletic directors, maybe they should ignore all that stuff, but they don't. They get caught up in all of that. They get caught up in the image, the winds of change, and I think it's a vibes business. Right, and once you've lost the vibes, and James Franklin had lost all the vibes, it's over. And I don't know whether it should be. Like, I think you could make the argument that Penn State is not going to end up with a better coach on the backside of this than James Franklin. I'm not saying there's a 0% chance of that, but there's a fair to middling chance they end up with a worse coach than James Franklin. But it doesn't matter. Like, that's the way this business works. Once the vibes are gone, once you've lost the pulse, once you've lost the fan base, you've lost the donor base, it's over. And there's probably something to be said for, like, you shouldn't make firings like this. You should be less of a victim of the moment and think, hey, this guy got us to the college football playoff semifinals last year and he went 70% of his games. Don't be caught up in this. But that's just not how it works. And so, yeah, I wasn't really surprised. Back-to-back, three straight losses, but back-to-back to UCLA and Northwestern, that's the type of thing that gets a coach fired, even when he's won 70% of his games.
You're right. It feels like now, and I'm not saying that this used to not matter, because this has always mattered to a certain degree, but it's almost like athletic directors ask themselves, what is the next home game going to look like? And then it's like, if they don't want to imagine that scene, they just are pulling the trigger.
That's right. And the other thing I always come back to here is it's not their money. It's really easy to spend somebody else's money. You know, if you're a team owner in the NFL and you've lost some vibes a little bit, the fans are upset, you think, well, this is my money. Do I want to fire this guy and eat this massive buyout? And I think, you know, that provides a little bit more job security at times in the NFL, because if an owner's money on the line and he or she has to decide, am I going to eat this buyout check? In college athletics, you know, the AD in conjunction with the chancellor and the president, it's not their money. And so if the donors say, we want this guy gone, and you think that's the way to keep the donors engaged, and, well, okay, it's their money. It's not my money, so he gone.
Or if maybe a shoe company says, "Hey, you want that $300 million? Why don't we get one of our kind of guys?"
I saw those rumblings that have been shot down, but that's college athletics.
Well, no, here's the thing: do I think that the ultimate decision was made by Adidas? No, I don't. Do I think Adidas? Yeah. Barry was supportive of the decision? Yes, I do.
Sure. That's the uniqueness of college athletics, right? It's just everybody wants to compare it to the NFL.
No,
it's just not,
no.
It's not even close. Like, if James Franklin is an NFL coach with his exact resume, he's never won a Super Bowl, okay, but he was in the conference championship game last year, the NFL equivalent to being in the playoff semifinals. He's in a conference championship game, and he's won 70% of his games, and he loses three straight. They're not firing him in the NFL. But this ain't the NFL, and this is the type of thing that gets you fired, and bye-bye, you're living in buyout land now in college football.
Is there any doubt in your mind that will be the best job in this market?
Oh, good question. We go back to Brian Kelly. Like, is he going to lose to Vanderbilt and fall into the black hole? And is LSU coming open? Yeah, there is some doubt that Penn State's going to be the best job open. I mean, I think Florida's going to open. Is Penn State a better job than Florida? Probably.
I think so. I know.
I think it's,
the problem with Florida is Florida likes to tell us it's a great job, but they're not showing their work. You know what I mean?
Correct. Yeah. Like, and I do think, like, there's no question Penn State should be among the top five teams in the Big Ten year in, year out. Doesn't mean they always will be, but I think that is an absolutely reasonable expectation for Penn State to be in the top five teams in the Big Ten every year. And in a lot of years, they should be in the top two, three, or four, right? I mean, for Florida,
I mean, I think there's an argument. I think there's an argument. It's the third best job in the Big Ten. And I think there's also an argument. If you're the third best job in the Big Ten, you're the third best job in the country. Because I think top end of the Big Ten.
SEC jobs, though.
I think the SEC, the problem is the Big Ten is stratified.
Okay.
And so the best jobs in that, Blake, what, there's 70,000 students at Penn State, right? So right, multiply that. Mm-hmm. Like, it's basically, it's kind of the nation's, like, Catholic university, like, Italian, like, Northeastern University. And so, like, there's a ton of money, there's a ton of support, and I just think that the Big Ten, the best Big Ten jobs are better than the SEC jobs.
I still think of it in the old way, like, with LSU being, you know, this fertile ground for Louisiana. I think that's kind of,
I just don't think, like, it matters anymore. Like, everybody's recruiting nationally.
Yeah. Yeah. Not as much, but.
I don't, you know what I mean? Like, I think Ohio State's clearly the best job.
Yeah.
I think Oregon with Uncle Phil still breathing might be two. And then Michigan, to me, it's like it's a toss up. Would you rather have Michigan or Penn State? And, like, yeah, I know Harbaugh won a national title there. And, yeah, they got some Oracle cash. But it's like consistently Penn State's been better than Michigan the last 30 years.
Yeah, and some of that's a credit to the guy they just fired.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
To James Franklin. I mean, he was consistent. Yeah, I mean, I think you could make an argument for LSU against Penn State. I don't think it's maybe as clear as the argument would have been before James Franklin came to town. I think you could make the case that Penn State's a better job than LSU. If LSU opens, it's in the conversation with Penn State. I'll say that. Other than LSU, I don't know what could potentially open that would trump Penn State. Because I think we've decided Florida does not trump Penn State. It doesn't. I mean, they've won more national championships since Joe Pa's title, so that's a feather in the cap, sure. But through the lens of 2025, Penn State's a better job than Florida, I believe.
Yeah, it's like Steve Spurrier and Urban Meyer won titles. Okay, I watched Steve Spurrier win 30 games at South Carolina. Like, yeah, he's like an all-time great coach, and Urban Meyer, not an all-time great guy, but like he's an all-time great coach. Like, yeah. you can't really argue that. I guess the. Would y'all rather have Oklahoma or Penn State? Because I'm not giving up the Venables is safe yet.
No, that's fair.
I'm going Penn State.
It depends on how you look at it, right? Like, old way of thinking, even 5 years ago way of thinking, I would have said Oklahoma.
Yeah.
I just don't know. Part of the problem with being in the SEC is it's sort of these stratospheres you were talking about, these layers. You get the job at Oklahoma, and they expect you to be among the five best teams in the country. And in a given year, it can be really hard to be among the five best teams in the conference, depending on your schedule draw. I mean, again, I go back to Penn State. there's no real reason why they shouldn't be in the top five in the Big Ten standings every single year. Doesn't mean it's going to happen every single year, but that's a completely realistic expectation. The SEC is just messy. They've created this thing in such a way that, like, I mean, Oklahoma, still great job, of course, but is Oklahoma any better than LSU, than Alabama, than Georgia? I mean, there's just more, and this is what we always come back to when we compare these conferences. It's like the best of the best in the Big Ten, I think, is probably a little better than the best of the best in the SEC right now. The depth is still substantially better, I think, in the SEC. But if you're hunting jobs, is that a good thing? I don't think so. Like, I think I'd rather be in the Big Ten with one of those awesome jobs.
I mean, like, let's
on my own level.
Like, let's think of, like, to just kind of bottom line it, it's guys, somebody made the decision to stay at Indiana and could have had whatever job he wanted.
Any job.
If he wanted the Penn State job, he could have the Penn State job. If he wanted the Florida job, he could have any of them. And he chose to stay at Indiana. Like, that's where we are.
It's a whole different ballgame.
Yeah, and I think that goes beyond Big Ten versus SEC, although I think that factors into it maybe a smidge. I think that is also just like, if you got your booster game humming at your particular school, why start over at a new school and go connect with those boosters? Even if you think you can get it humming there, if you've already got it humming at your school and you're number three in the country and you go chase a national championship right where you are, you don't need to leave, you know, because it's all about getting the money man in your pocket, which Cignetti's obviously got some financial support there. You don't build a roster like he's done the last few years without getting the booster game humming, which is a credit to him. I'm not taking that away.
Right, that's
from
part
him,
of the job. Like, yeah.
Yeah, that's part of the job. He's doing it well, but it also says to me, like, he doesn't need to leave and start somewhere else because he's already got some dollars in his pocket right where he's at, and nobody cares anymore that Indiana didn't win squat back in the day, because back in the day matters as little as it ever has. I'm not going to say it matters zero, but it matters closer to zero than it ever has before.
Well, there's this, you know, to your point, it's like, I don't know if it's because Indiana's got a lot of people in our wonderful field, but it's also funny to me how with Texas Tech, and I get it, Texas Tech has made it a part of the narrative as well, but all we do is talk about the money on the roster. With Indiana, it's all just like, it's good old-fashioned like coach mythology. And it's like, guys, Fernando Mendoza could have gone to Georgia, and he went to Indiana. Why do you think that happened?
You're right. Yeah, Fernando Mendoza ain't playing for free.
Correct.
At Indiana. I do think Cignetti, and maybe this is why he can get so much credit. I do think he's pretty darn good.
I agree. I think he's a good coach, but, like, you know what I mean? Like, no one's digging into their NIL game. And you know what? Mm-hmm. It's it's good.
Yeah.
Right.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Coming at you live from Auto Trader, here's New Car Energy.
They're searching inventory. You can make a budget for your wallet to help you succeed. It's smarter car shopping just for
Find
you.
Find your next ride at autotrader.com, powered by Auto Intelligence.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
Honeymoon, here we come. Where's our car?
It's been stolen.
We'll call our insurance agent. I'm right here.
Oh, hey, Jen. You got our invite.
Love the dress.
Are we covered for this?
Of course. That's why you chose Auto Owners. We work together to get the right coverage. So when the unexpected happens, you know you're covered.
That's simple human sense.
Now, how do we get to the airport? Take mine.
Thanks, Jen.
Ask your independent agent if Auto Owners make sense for you.